And good afternoon, Virginia. It's The Defenders Live here on WRAR. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, December 19th, 2011. We are approaching the end of the year, and The Defenders Live is, as always, brought to you as a production of The Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. I'm your host, Anna Edwards, and today is the show before Christmas, and in times past, I have tried to focus on a topic that is specifically directed at Christmas and at that holiday, but today it's going to have to be kind of circumstantial, and we're going to have to sort of circumnavigate some key topics in order to get to the point at which we simply wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. But first, I'd like to reiterate that if you want to learn more about the Defenders, please visit our website at defendersfje.org or the blogspot, which is defendersfje.blogspot.com. And finally, Defenders Live has a blog, defendersliveradio.blogspot.com. And of course, we're on Facebook. We are, like the rest of the world, on Facebook, on Twitter, on a blog, on a website, email, telephone, all of that. And our telephone number is 804-644-5834. There's almost no way not to find us. So, is that a good thing? Time will tell. So, what's happening today? Well, I think the big news for the Richmond area, for the state of Virginia, of course, is that Governor McDonald came forward this morning and presented to the General Assembly of the state of Virginia his proposed budget for the next 2 years. And the details of that budget will, of course, be taken up during the next General Assembly session. That session opens on January 11th, 2012, so not too far away. And, of course, as always for the last 4 years, the Virginia People's Assembly will also convene. Now, I just said General Assembly twice, and I don't know if you caught the difference between the two. One is the Virginia General Assembly, that body with which you have probably been familiar for the last 300 years, or roughly, you know, probably not quite that long. But, and the other is just 4 years old, and it's called the Virginia People's Assembly. And that came together in the year 2009 at a point at which our economy was beginning its precipitous and rapid decline, its descent into a period in which the objective conditions have now driven the people to rise up and occupy, to rise up and speak out. And it's getting to be very interesting. You know, when things are very quiet and everybody's feeling generally okay, it's very interesting how quickly people will respond to a demonstration or a rally or a march as, oh God, it's just the 60s and people can't help it and they just have to like be hippies and they got to hit the streets because they don't want to really participate in the system that we have. And if they would just do that, everything would work out. Well, you know what? That's easy to say when things are comfortable and okay. But the truth is that this country, like most countries, actually depends upon people speaking out, people rising up, the right to dissent, right? And so if there is one thing that we have in this country, at least we think we have, is the right to dissent, the right to protest, to be out there and to let you know how we feel. And from our perspective, the Defenders and the Virginia People's Assembly and, you know, people that we like to call ourselves progressives, we believe in, the humanity of man, as opposed to the oppression of, the capital oppression of people to the benefit of the dollar. And in that regard, of course, when you are faced with listening to an elected official convey their rationale around what they are planning to do with the state's budget, you know, you've got a lot of ears that you're listening with. You've got your cynical ears to, you know, hear the usual. You've got to have your open ears to be tuned into what may be new, what may be different, what may make it worse, what may make it better. But, you know, we have to be listening. We have to be paying attention. And we have to understand always where we're coming from so that we understand how to process and assess the information that we are receiving, right? So the People's Assembly formed in 2009, and one of the first things that it did was to craft a document. And there's two different things going on here. The Virginia People's Assembly itself is a gathering. It's a statewide gathering of representatives from dozens of organizations and communities throughout Virginia. And when they met in January 10th of 2009, they met specifically to found this organization or this body, this gathering. And they did it in order to protect and promote the interests of working class people and communities of color. And after a lot of discussion in that first year, one of the things that was decided was important was to have some kind of list of demands. If we were going to be approaching the General Assembly, if we were going to be talking to people who understood the language of our Virginia General Assembly, then we were going to want to put it into a written form or into the form, a form that people could understand. Here are the priorities of an agenda that doesn't actually seem to line up as well with the General Assembly's agenda or slate of legislative offerings as we might hope. And the headline for that document, which was called The People's Agenda, was called Don't Balance the Budget on the Backs of Virginia's Workers. We demand a moratorium on cutbacks, layoffs, evictions, and foreclosures. This was 2009. The buildup for that People's Assembly was a year in the making, and this was the call. Do not balance the budget on the backs of Virginia's workers, and we demand a moratorium on cutbacks, layoffs, evictions, and foreclosures. So what did that agenda consist of under that significant title and reasonable demand? People were losing their houses left and right. Renters were losing the houses that the owners were being foreclosed on. Jobs were being lost at a rate that was phenomenal. The loss of, you know, gross domestic product because of this, because of the crisis of the gambling that was going on in our stock system, in Wall Street, and frankly in Wall Streets around the world, was creating a crisis the likes of which we hadn't seen since the 1930s. What's happening in places like Martinsville, Virginia, where their unemployment rate is officially at 16%? Do you know what that says? Since the Depression, right? 16% of the people there are not working, can't find jobs. And if you want to take me to task for my language specifically around that, then, you know, just send me the document and I'll read it. But you know what that means. We have people who, once they lose a job, are not finding jobs again. They're not even finding the minimum wage jobs. It's a really, you know, these are dire times. And that is why the occupation movement took place. That's why it's really still taking place, even as our police departments have, you know, on the instructions of the mayors and various city authorities have swept in and removed the occupiers from their various encampments. We are not seeing them go away. This is not simply a quiet retreat and people are licking their wounds. People are regrouping. And people are finding the ways in which to get their messages heard in order to continue the protest because the problems have not gone away. And the presentation by Governor McDonald this morning was not one to alleviate our concerns. In essence, the balancing of the budget or the budget that has been presented for the next 2 years is one that does what we expected it would do, and that is through whatever means they want to call it, money is moving from social needs to business needs. And it's not going to work. None of it in there was actually job creation building. And that is one of the biggest problems. Now, today, there is a press conference going on right now down at the General Assembly building by representatives and endorsers of the Virginia People's Assembly. And what I'm hoping is that we will be able to take a call from someone on the scene during the course of today's show so that we can give you an idea of how that press conference is going, what the responses are, and what's being demanded. But let me give you a little synopsis from the press release. It refers to the fact that the VPA is coming up. This year it will take place on January 14th, that's a Saturday, the day before the 83rd anniversary of the birth of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. This time it will rally and march and hold a conference under the banner of Jobs, Peace, and Justice. And this press conference is in effect a response to the governor's budget proposals. And I'll go ahead and read this part to you. Governor McDonnell, with an eye on his vice presidential prospects, has been touting a possible state budget surplus for 2012 and 2013, but this is very deceptive. Since the beginning of the 2008 Great Recession, Virginia has balanced its budgets in large part by quote-unquote deferring contributions to its state workers' pension fund, which according to a recent state audit is now $20 billion short of what it needs to pay benefits. This is money that must be repaid. And on that note, you are listening to The Defenders Live here at WRIR 97.3 FM. It's Richmond's radio for the rest of us, and it is Richmond's independent radio. At WRIR.org, you can listen live to this show and all others that are broadcast here, and you also tune in, of course, on your radio dial at 97.3. If you want to learn more about Defenders Live, please visit DefendersFJE.org and DefendersFJE.blogspot.com. Today we're talking about Governor McDonnell's budget proposal for the next 2 years and the Virginia People's Assembly endorsers press conference, which is going on right now at 9th and Gray Street, right under the shadows of the General Assembly building. And as I was just remarking, that the budget, as we know, or if you have been tuning in, of course, to the broadcast on radio earlier this morning, if you've been reading the paper, we know that one of the biggest piles of money that has been used in order to help sort of balance the budget has been the Virginia State Workers' Pension Fund. And it is now $20 billion short of what it needs to be in order to pay the benefits that it's supposed to. Now, Virginia actually faces a budget shortfall of some $2 billion. And because state law requires a balanced budget and because the lobbyist-controlled legislature is opposed to any new taxes on the wealthy, Governor McDonnell can only be expected to propose the usual draconian cuts in social service programs and financial aid to cities and counties. And these cuts, of course, are going to follow several years of reductions in vital social services already. The last two-year budget raised fees while cutting hundreds of millions of dollars from health care, schools, and public safety. It lopped off almost 4% from state support for Medicaid, even though Virginia ranks 48th among all states in the amount it spends per person for health care for the disadvantaged. Since 2007, Virginia's already inadequate mental health programs have been cut $40 million. And furthermore, in the past, Virginia has relied in part on federal stimulus dollars that will not be available now. Are there alternatives to massive cuts that hurt the poor, the workers, and the middle class? Well, here are three possibilities. Raise Virginia's state corporate income tax rate, one of the lowest in the country. End the use of the Virginia National Guard for wars abroad, and stop using state money to glorify the Confederacy. You know, as we examine these things, we learn more and more about what other state monies are used for, and we really do have to examine the priorities of those things. One of the things that we've talked about in the past is the real challenge about us coming to terms with our history and the way in which the Confederacy has been promoted, but I have just gotten word that my call is in. Hi, is that Phil? Hi, you're on the air. I can hear sound, but I'm not getting a response. Hi, is there someone on the air? Nope. Maybe they'll call back. This is really interesting. Now, I think that they were actually on the phone, but I think that they may have taken it away from their ear or something, but it did sound like someone was actually there. So we'll see if they call back. Anyway, as I was saying, you have those three possibilities, but also I was talking, of course, about one of the ways in which Virginia does use its money, and that is to promote the Confederacy. And in some very positive forward motions, things have been changing lately. And, of course, one of the most important symbolic and pragmatic gestures has been the strengthening of the Trail of Enslaved Africans here in Richmond. But even as we were engaged in the struggle for the reclamation of the burial ground, we have found that people have a hard time focusing on some of our important identity issues, some of our important struggles about how to build this city for the future, when, of course, they're facing critical crises right now. And that's what this budget is about. And that's why we need to be paying attention not just to this budget, but also to the decisions that are being made as we lead up to this budget. What kind of negotiating is going to be going on? I think we have someone on. Hi. Are you there? I can hear the ambient sound, but I can't hear. Maybe they can't hear me. Well, we'll keep trying. Hi, is someone there? What's happening is that there is a press conference of the Virginia People's Assembly endorsers down at 9th and Gray Street, and they have I think they have read a prepared statement that is a response to Governor McDonald's budget presentation this morning to the General Assembly. And what's important to understand about the gathering of the Virginia People's Assembly and the endorsers is that as they are working to build for the conference and march and rally, which will be held on January 14th, they have been following from the different regions of Virginia. They've been following not only the occupation movements, but also those local struggles. So they've really been paying attention to things like what the people of Martinsville are dealing with. I mentioned earlier that they are facing 16% unemployment rate just in Martinsville. And one of the discussions has been, you know, a Marshall Plan for Martinsville, something that where there's real investment in creating jobs, because that job creation piece is what was entirely missing from the governor's presentation. And in fact, it's what we have been so frustrated about, even on the national level. Where has the jobs program gone? The idea of a jobs program seems only fit for conversation, but not for actual enactment. And so we have not seen the jobs created. And we have the ability to do that. But we've been fed a lot of the distraction of what the rest of the world, which is not necessarily a bad thing, so don't take me off on a funny tangent, but we are so much more interconnected to the rest of the world that our economy affects other places, their economies affect us now. But we have the ability within this country, it's been done before and it can be done again, that if we're actually going to protect the interests of the people who live and work in the United States, then we are going to have a solid and committed jobs program. In places like Blacksburg, they have had an occupation movement. They have had demonstrations specifically about the budget. They have been focused on education because it's a college town and the rates at which the tuition has gone up. Hi, have we got someone on the air? Hi, is someone there? Hi, Phil. Hi. I think he's speaking. All right. Well, I think we gave it a really good try. And I think we won't. We may not be able to worry about it today. I want to thank my listeners for being patient with us trying to make this happen. But something seems to be happening on their end. We can hear them, but I think maybe they can't hear us. But I think that may be because of what's happening at the press conference, because it sounds like the statement is being given at this moment. So, tune in to your local television news station. My understanding is that Channel 12, Channel 8, and Channel 6 in particular are covering this press conference, so you may be able to pick something up there. But in the meantime, I just want to, again, sort of close, sort of wrap this up with just a reminder again to keep in mind the localization of the struggles for the occupation movement are reflective of the concerns of those localities throughout the state of Virginia. And of course, that means we're representative of every other state in the nation. As we are looking at our budget concerns, as we are looking at the state of services for our most vulnerable populations, as we look at even the preservation of our middle class, as people like to put it, which is a pretty unique formation in the history of the world. There's some, different focuses, and if you look at the different occupations, if you look at some of the protests that are coming out of the occupations coming to an end, such as the closing of the ports, Oakland, California is very powerful, what's happening in Atlanta. There is also a very important dynamic that is emerging now that has come out of the problems of, again, the problems of racism within the occupation movement, and how Black peoples and people of color have had to either form their own occupation organizations and or redirect the occupations in ways that are more reflective of some of the challenges that have been swept aside in the interests in that way that that even our peace movement has had a problem with, in saying, well, we don't want to think about all those controversial issues because we have to be unified around ending the war. Well, the war almost inevitably involves all of these issues, and it certainly impacts all of these people, and of course impacts people of color and the impoverished even more. As horrifying as it is that our country has lost over 4,000 people in this war in Iraq, the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people who have lost their lives in this war and in other wars, who are simply the residents of that nation. The imbalance there is so mind-boggling, we apparently can't even deal with it when we talk about it on the news. So while we are grateful that the U.S. is finally pulling out of Iraq, even though we know they're not going to entirely pull out of Iraq, the war in Afghanistan is still going on. The amazing really kind of conspiracy to convince us that we are going to have to go to war against Iran is going on. AFRICOM and the U.S. interests in Africa are growing steadily every single day. These are all things that we have to be paying attention to, and these are all things that draw on the monies that we actually need to sustain our populations here in Virginia. So I want to thank you for tuning in to Defenders Live today. I would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas, and I wish you a very good holiday season, and I hope you stay safe and warm in your travels at home, eat well, be close to your family, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Keep up the struggle, and remember that kindness matters. Thanks.